Hello, guys. Welcome back to the OptLab podcast. And we're really excited today to have Garrett Saltpeter from NewFit with us today. Some of you guys who may have trained with us know that we've recently purchased the Newbie, which is a big part of the NewFit program. And Garrett is the founder of that company and the inventor. And really excited today. I'm looking forward to kind of picking his brain a little bit. We've seen some incredible things in the short period of time that we've been using the device. So I'm in a learning process. I told him as we were talking before, I'm a newbie with the Newbie. So I'm excited about learning more about how to apply it and, you know, even get better results with people. But a lot of people have asked a lot of, you know, questions about it. And although I'm familiar and have studied and, you know, gone through their online certification and so forth, you know, Garrett's the expert. So we're very excited to have him here to kind of explain it maybe in a little bit more detail. And I welcome Garrett. And then I ask him if he would just kind of tell a little bit of his story about, I've heard it before, but for you guys that haven't heard it, you know, how he really got to where he is now, because this was not his original plan, so to speak. And but I think things are working out pretty well now and going down the path he has gone. So, Garrett, if you don't mind sharing a little bit about your story and how you got to where you are now.
Thank you, Billy. It's a pleasure to be here. We've enjoyed working with you over the past several months. Excited to hear about what you've been doing with your team there in South Carolina, and it's great. So I really appreciate you having me on the show. And in terms of my story, it definitely is an example of like you said, doing something different than what I originally set out to do, and reminds me of the saying by our pal Mike Tyson that you know, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the mouth or something to that effect, right? And so I had a passion for sports and physiology. I was an athlete. I played ice hockey growing up, played in college. And I also, for many different reasons, ended up at one point, I thought I might be a physical therapist or actually go to med school. But I was just, through my experiences, I was just so put off with the traditional medical model that I decided to take a little bit of a different path education-wise. I was a physics major. I was set to go to engineering graduate school, and I thought I was going to be an engineer. I just like problem solving. That's kind of how my brain works. And so that was my plan. And then I metaphorically got punched in the mouth. You know, I actually got injured in a different part of my body. I had some torn ligaments in my wrist my last year playing ice hockey in college. And this injury turned out to be a tremendous blessing in my life, because I had this experience where I got connected to a functional neurologist. The guy originally was a chiropractor doing a lot of work in neurology. And by working with him and taking this functional neurological approach to something that's traditionally just thought of as a structural orthopedic injury or condition, by taking this functional approach, we were able to have these incredible breakthroughs where we focused on activating the muscles around the injury. We focused on using, at the time, more primitive earlier versions of direct current, using that to help stimulate some healing to occur and further facilitate for proper function of the muscles around that injury. And lo and behold, you know, doing this approach, I felt a little bit better right away, you know, a lot better after the first week. And in 3 weeks, my ligaments healed on their own. Instead of having to get surgery and be out for 3 months, you know, I had this amazing recovery experience. And it was this eureka moment, this light bulb going off in my mind of like, oh my gosh, this is something that I've been yearning for. I had this passion for the human body, but I just was so turned off by the traditional stuff that I didn't think I could pursue it. And then this happened, and all of a sudden I knew after having that experience that I just had this calling inside to do this work, to share this with the world. I had no idea what it looked like at the time, but that is really what lit the fire inside of me. And then I was down here in Austin, Texas, where we now live and our office, our NewFit is based. And I was here in engineering school, and you know, having had that experience, I went over a summer to apprentice with this doctor and saw more and more clearly that this was what I wanted to pursue. And so I opened up a facility out of partnering with a local chiropractor here. We had 150 square feet in his office and started using these neurological techniques that I had learned from this doctor under whom I apprenticed or mentored, and then other self-study and other people I learned from here and there and different workshops, and started piecing this together using older versions of electrical stimulation technology. I saw right away benefits of direct current and saw how those made this impact on tissue healing. And so I knew that was a piece of it. And then as that grew along the way, you know, we grew out of that 150 square foot office and got a larger one and started seeing more people and building a team here in Austin. And it was good because we were getting great outcomes and people were referring their friends and family. And so we just grew very organically those first few years. I often refer to as the laboratory phase, where I was testing and evaluating different protocols and treatment techniques and trying to figure out everything and put it together and in a, you know, kind of a scientific engineering like mindset and approach. And then eventually I saw all these opportunities to improve the technology. You know, I started looking like, gosh, is there anyone who makes a machine that does this or that, or how about this? And there just weren't. And finally I said, you know what, I want to do it myself. And so I started working with some electrical engineering colleagues and put this together, you know, starting development in early 2015. And then we finally, after about 2.5 years of development, getting through the regulatory approvals, that whole process towards the end of 2017. So just about 2.5 years, finally got our first newbie device out. And since then, it's been such an amazing process, so humbling and gratifying and rewarding and exciting to see how, you know, hundreds and hundreds of doctors, therapists, strength coaches, trainers have been able to use this technology and get outcomes that are as good or better than what we were seeing here in our community in Austin. And they're able, just like you, you're able to take this to the people in your community and reach people that we certainly never would be able to work with. And to see it grow like that has been just really, you know, a really profound experience for me. And, you know, to see some of the things, like, you know, I mentioned that quote from Mike Tyson in the beginning, coming full circle. You know, now we have one of our practitioners in LA is literally working with Mike Tyson 5 days a week, training and preparing him for his comeback fight that he's fighting this November at age 54 years old. And he literally, to give you an idea of some of the outcomes that people are seeing, he was in pain every day. He could barely get out of bed. Mike Tyson, from his old injuries, you know, including disc issues in his lumbar spine, and, you know, it hurt to get out of bed, it hurt to move, he could barely train. And Brad Rowe is the name of the practitioner who started working with him. You know, he felt so good and so fluid, and he got out of pain that, you know, he's now able to train again. He literally got, you know, it inspired him to get back into the ring at 54 years old. And it's been so cool to see people like Brad, people like you, and our whole community of practitioners around the country, around the world now, growing into other countries as well. But to see the types of success stories, the inspiring outcomes that people are generating has been just incredible.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we talked a little bit before too, you know, if you wouldn't mind elaborating a little bit more, is, you know, we've seen some great things. I was mentioning to you when I originally looked at the newbie, I'd seen some things about it, and even my own experience. I've had, you know, quite a few injuries. Done jiu-jitsu now for over 20 years, and, you know, just trying to stay in the game, you know, some things along the way, and, you know, both hips, surgery, both hips, a couple of elbow surgeries. And I remember years ago, I had an elbow surgery, which basically was just removing a lot of, bone spurs. Like, I was doing all this stretching and mobility work, and then when I finally decided to go to the doctor and get an x-ray, you know, like, this is why there's just stuff in there blocking it. So they removed the bone spurs. And I never forget when I came out of surgery, the doctor said, we got all the stuff out, you know, and under anesthesia, you have full range of motion. Well, it never came back to full range of motion, not under anesthesia. So that always intrigued me, because you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, if there's nothing blocking it there and I'm doing mobility work and different things, then what's actually stopping me from getting back to my range? And it has to be something neurological. And so, you know, when I first saw your, I think it was, I mentioned earlier, Ben Greenfield's podcast you were on, you were talking about this. It's like, man, there's got to be, what if this could be the thing that helps me, you know, regain some of that? And that's really what drew me in. But the type of, I think, you know, and then trying to get this out to other people, some people will tell me, you know, yeah, I've done something like that before. And I think a big piece of it, you know, I've done a little bit of both, and I can definitely tell a difference. But I think one of the big things is the difference between the, I think most devices are more the alternating current, whereas the newbie is the direct current. Could you elaborate on that a little bit more, what the difference is?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is, for those of you listening or curious about the newbie device, that is the biggest difference. It's direct current as opposed to alternating current. And that's important for a couple reasons. One is the effect it can have on accelerating tissue healing and different things like that. In animal and human models, you know, direct current has been shown to have some effect there, whereas alternating current will not. However, the biggest difference, I think, is on this, in this exact realm that you're talking about, where your elbow, structurally, it can move to full range, but functionally, you can't get there. You're blocking yourself from expressing that range of motion that you have. And so what it allows us to do is tap into the nervous system in a way that can address that problem. And by that, I mean that, you know, with traditional alternating current devices like a Russian stim, TENS, interferential, so, you know, most of the common, you know, $50 to $500 units that are out there, you know, they're all alternating current. And what happens when you turn them up to a high enough level to actually make a difference in this realm of neuromuscular re-education and repatterning and trying to either, you know, make muscles stronger or change recruitment patterns or things like that. If you're trying to operate in that realm, you have to, you know, create enough stimulus to make a difference. And so when you turn those AC units up to a high enough level to make a difference, they're going to end up causing your muscles to co-contract and fight against each other, and the limiting factor becomes this contraction. Whereas with the direct current, you could turn the newbie up, our device, you can turn it up to the same amount of current, and even though just as much energy is being delivered, it feels just as intense, you'd be able to move through that signal. You wouldn't be locked up. And so another way to frame that is to say that, okay, for the same amount of current, less of it's actually going into muscle contraction, more of it's going into sensory or neurological inputs. And you might say, well, I want my muscles to contract. I want, because I want to challenge them. So don't I want that alternating current device? And the answer is, well, there possibly can be some benefit to that. However, what you're really after is training yourself to be able to control your muscles better, to use them at a higher level, to coordinate them more efficiently or more powerfully. And that is ultimately controlled by the nervous system. And being able to communicate with the nervous system in this way is a much more powerful avenue for this neuromuscular re-education process. And so we have many such examples, you know, like whether it be your elbow or a football player who just strained his AC joint, you know, it could be between a grade 2 and 3 strain AC separation, and he can't lift his arm more than 15 degrees out to his side. And we'll go through this process. We'll take that direct currents, map his body, and identify where the guarding and protection is, where that body is, the nervous system is standing in the way of movement, is blocking its own movement, inhibiting or limiting its own movement. And we'll find those areas based on how you or how he responds to the machine. And then we'll actually send that signal in to reset those areas. And sometimes in one session, his arm will be up overhead, or your elbow will all of a sudden be straight for the first time. And you know that in such a short period of time, it's obviously the case that you did not heal anything, you didn't build any new muscle, you didn't change anything structurally. It's far too short for that to happen. What you did was change the function, and that is ultimately controlled neurologically. And so by working at this neurological level, you can tap into that function that's there. It's just lying dormant, or you can't express it, or you're blocking yourself from being able to express it.
Awesome. Yeah, that's kind of what I noticed. You know, the first time I got to use the newbie with, you know, the squat. You know, just the mobility in the squat. Even though I've worked on that quite a bit, you know, I think I told you like 5 minutes in. You know, I'm all of a sudden I'm squatting deeper, and I was like, wow, what's going on? And now what's kind of cool about it is now that I've been doing it consistently for a few months, that's the other thing I've noticed is now that now I can squat to that depth without the newbie. And that's
nice.
That's even better. Even though I'm still using it, but it's not something you have to rely on. At least that's been my experience. You're training it, but it's not, you know, then eventually your body learns to do it without that extra stimulus. At least that's been my experience.
Yeah, and I would say that's fairly common. And the idea there is that we want to first use the newbie for treatment or re-education in order to get rid of those impediments or those compensation patterns or, you know, whatever it was that was limiting you in your squat. It could be bad habits developed over time. It could be a response to a previous injury or trauma, you know, whatever it is. We want to get rid of those first to get back to baseline. And for you, baseline was obviously a much deeper squat, and that's fabulous. And then from there, you know, we can't say, well, you're just permanently better forever. You know, it's not like you brush your teeth once and they're good forever. It's not like you exercise once and you're good for the year. Of course, you have to keep moving and keep maintaining it because use it or lose it is very real. But then after you get that, then it switches more into like a maintenance phase or a, you know, find the next goal and train towards that phase. But yeah, once you reset that, it shouldn't come back unless there's a reason for it. So yeah, you should be able to maintain it.
Awesome. And then you kind of started to get off on this. I know that kind of the paradigm of New Fit is, you know, the rehab and the fitness and the performance. Could you go into that even a little bit more with the, because that to me was, like we were talking earlier, originally what interested me the most was the mobility aspect and really trying to, kind of maybe help correct some, like you said, compensation patterns, different things like that that you've created over time. And then when I started using the device, I think really the first time I really used it myself, and even though you were very good about explaining this in the lectures, I probably went a little bit too much. I noticed the next day, like, man, I am sore. And so I didn't really look at it from a pure training stimulus, but, you know, obviously that can be a piece of the puzzle as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, we're primarily working with the nervous system, and of course the nervous system is relevant for how we recover from injury, how we overcome pain, and it's also relevant for how effectively we perform daily life cognitively, energy-wise, and elite athletic performance. And so the common thread, you know, the reason that we're able to work effectively throughout this whole continuum from early stage rehab into elite athletic performance is that common thread of the nervous system that's woven throughout all of those elements. And one of the cool things that I'll mention, you know, like you doing a, you know, a quote unquote treatment, you got a lot more range of motion in your squat very quickly. For some people, they're tapping into more speed or more strength. And so for some people, those quote unquote treatments will actually unlock some performance almost as a side effect. And sometimes we'll see people's squat or deadlift or bench press go up or power clean go up, or we'll see their sprint times, faster, go two to three tenths of a second faster, or we'll see their velocity throwing a baseball will go up a few miles an hour. Even though we weren't training for that, we just unlocked that ability that they already had. And then from there, once we get back to that baseline, which sometimes does mean, you know, higher performance, once we get there and brought up those weak links, so to speak, then we want to talk about, okay, how do we now bring up the functional capacity of the whole system? And that's what I would describe as being the difference between rehab and training, is whether we're just trying to focus on those weak links or whether we're kind of thinking about this functional increase in the functional capacity of the whole system, or whether we're tapping into capacity that's already there versus trying to increase or build up new capacity. That would be where I draw the distinction. I think there's a lot really of overlap and a lot that's the same between effective rehab and effective training. And that's kind of where I would make a distinction for what that's worth.
Okay.
And in training, then one of the main ways we're able to help people is really what you described, again, through this this under this umbrella of neuromuscular reeducation, what we can do is send current, and we can change the settings to where we can actually manipulate the tone on muscles, so we can make it more relaxed, more of that sensory input like we talked about earlier. We can actually change a setting also to where we get contraction, and it's less of that co-contraction, muscles fighting against each other, more of just the contraction of the muscle that you're on. Again, some benefits of direct current compared to alternating current, but you can hone in very precisely the type of signal that you're providing. And so if you wanted to do biceps, for example, so I could stand here and just, you know, bend my arms and do bicep curls without any weights. But if I have the machine on, I'm going to be getting as much muscle recruitment as if I were lifting 70, 80, 90 pounds, 100 pounds. And I'm going to get the benefits as if I was doing that, as if I was lifting, you know, my one rep max, but I'm not going to have nearly as much weights. I'm not going to have as much load, as much strain on my joints, as much risk of injury. And I'm going to be able to do it. You know, think about it. If you have a one rep max, you can do it once, rest 3 to 5 minutes, do it again, 3 to 5 minutes. You might get 4 or 5 reps in a session. Whereas this, I can get near those levels of recruitment, but for 50 to 100 reps. So I can get a lot more density of work in as well. So there's recruitment, you know, recruitment is one of the benefits in training there, more in more of a strength realm. And then there's also benefits in coordination, teaching muscles the ability to relax, which is the limiting factor in velocity of movement. So there's ways, like software programming, there's ways to program certain muscles to, you know, to work differently, to work better, to work more efficiently. And another way, you know, there's different opportunities. You know, of course, from a neurological perspective, you know, specificity is important. There's specificity of adaptations, and there's, you know, different schools of thought around doing more or, you know, greater or fewer amounts of sport-specific movement repetitions and things like that. But, you know, I will tell you that if you're a pitcher and you put the machine on the muscles where you need, and you go through some of your throwing movements with the current on, you are going to be able to at least potentiate in the short term, if not create changes in motor learning in the long term. You know, you'll be able to see some changes in how you throw and change that pattern, you know, usually for the better. You'll be able to help activate the underutilized muscles in this reeducation effect, or relax the ones that are excessively tight and guarding and resisting you, and help create some breakthroughs in performance.
Awesome. Just, you know, obviously, we're just kind of getting started with the newbie, but I know from just some of the testimonials on the website and just hearing from you, what are some of the different, I know you've had some people with, with MS, a lot of really good results with that, and some of the other in that realm of, I would guess I would call like maybe more the rehabilitation side of it. What are some of the things you've seen over the last few years with that, and also with just in with the network, like you said, not just in Austin, but with some of your other practitioners also?
Yeah, great question. So originally, you know, having been an athlete myself, I started out helping a lot of people like me, helping athletes recover faster from various sports injuries and working on some of these performance objectives, and then over time, kind of naturally, because people heard what we were doing, they heard there was a more neurological twist to it. You know, we started getting people with strokes or spinal cord injuries coming in to see us and kind of put together some of these protocols and approaches, leveraging what we were already doing and you know, what we learned from other people, and trying to find ways to take what was working and make it better by using technology, make it either faster or more replicatable, reproducible, you know, whatever we could do. And so now that's become a whole kind of avenue or a whole separate part of NewFit, where we have, you know, a couple therapists on our team that do remote sessions with individuals who have spinal cord injuries or strokes or MS. And if they have trouble getting into a therapist or they need to be treated at home, you know, we can send them a machine and do that remotely, or they can do it themselves, or a caregiver can help them with it. More commonly though, people go and find a therapist in their area and work with someone who can use the machine with them. And so, you know, on our website, new.fit/locations, there's a tab there. If anyone else is listening, I know a lot of your listeners are probably your clientele there locally, so they'd come and see you. But if they have family around the country or someone, so that's been, it's been really inspiring, you know, stroke, spinal cord injury, MS, traumatic brain injury. We've seen some incredible things. So one example is we have actually a little documentary I could share with you if anyone in your audience wanted to see it. You know, a great story of a woman named Amy who was thrown from a horse when she was 22 or 23 years old. She broke her neck. She was paralyzed from the waist down, and she, you know, made a little bit of progress in the first year or two, and then at that point everyone wrote off that she would ever make any progress again. They thought, okay, that was her window, and now she will just have to adapt to living life without the use of her legs. And she did that for 25 years. She had a great life, you know. She had been married, she worked, she it was a very productive member of society, super positive, wonderful human being, you know, just, you know, had a great life and just adapted without the use to life without the use of her legs. And 25 years after the injury, so she's in her late 40s, she heard about us through a friend, came in to just try it out. You know, she was open-minded, she wasn't expecting much, but she figured, you know, what do I have to lose? I might as well try it. And so we started working with her, and we did our mapping process, and we found there were actually a couple spots where she had some feeling, and it was kind of cool, kind of interesting. And within a few weeks, she started getting back some sensation, being able to sense hot and cold. A couple more weeks, she was able to sweat below her level of injury for the first time in 25 years. And we're thinking, oh my gosh, the autonomic nervous system, some of these functions are coming back, some of these feelings, some of these functions, like, this is kind of cool. Let's keep going. And during that time, she also got to wiggle her toes a little bit. Some of the spasticity in her legs diminished, and she could move her, you know, she could like move more. And we started progressing, and then, you know, fast forward to after her first year of treatments, she was able to stand with support and take her first steps. And then over the next year, she started walking the length of the hallway at our old office, and we called it her 4-minute mile. You know, the first time she did it, it took her 13 something minutes to walk this 200-foot hallway in an office building from the lobby out there, and she had to sit down 3 or 4 times in her wheelchair. We were pushing behind her, and then eventually she was able to do it without resting. Then she got down to 11 minutes, 8 minutes, 6 minutes, and then she broke 4 minutes. We call that her 4-minute mile, and she, you know, she just shared this amazing story where this past holiday, like Christmas season, she was gathering with her family, and she arranged this event where all her family was there in a restaurant, and she arrived last. And she walked into the restaurant on a walker, and her family is like in tears, and they're screaming, oh my God, what is going on? What is this? And it was the first time, you know, her family members had seen her out of a wheelchair in 25 years.
Wow.
And it was just this, you know, she got it on video. She arranged with someone and we got to see the video, and we're, you know, we're crying, tearing up, we've got chills. And it's just this incredibly inspiring story. And really it shows, what's possible. It shows the amazing capacity that we all have as humans for neuroplasticity, for adaptation, overcoming trauma, you know, changing, healing, adapting, growing. And her story has inspired many others with similar neurological conditions or stroke or MS or different things. And we've got some other inspiring stories of other people regaining sensation, function, some getting out of wheelchairs, you know, some really, really cool, stories coming out. And it just, it speaks to that amazing human spirit and the power that we all have inside of us, and how, you know, we're not using technology to replace that by any means. We're using technology to tap into that power.
Awesome. That is great. Wow. Amazing. Like I said, I've been very, very impressed with some of the things that we've done. Another thing that, again, we were talking earlier is one of the, you know, aspects of, for me, that, and this is kind of more of a question, really, again, I had not really considered before with using the newbie, but you know, just as like a training protocol, especially with people who have, you know, we use a lot of, I don't know if you're familiar with like a super slow training method. So it's not all we do, but if we're, especially like I would say, you know, with some of our more advanced clients in age who maybe have some arthritic issues and things like that, if we want to strengthen the muscles, we're not doing a lot of ballistic, explosive movement, that sort of thing. You slow, controlled movement, trying to build build strength and support the joint and just make them more functional human beings. And we've got some great results with that. But even with that, with some people who have maybe some really orthopedic issues, arthritic type issues, you know, even doing it that way can still kind of, you know, inflame the joints a little bit. And that's, like I said, a whole new thing I've not even thought about when we first got involved with New Fit is, you know, and I've started to use this a little bit, you know, really to accomplish the same thing, but again, without putting that extra stress on the joint. If you had much experience with that in your clinic or, you know, working with people from that perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've seen a lot of people now with us and with our practitioners around the country adopt that style of training where, you know, people will plug in or hook up to the newbie, you know, two or three times a week. And a lot of times it can be 20 or 30 minute sessions. You know, it can be super time efficient because you can put it on your arms and just, you know, do curls for 2 or 3 minutes and you're done. That's all you need for your arms. Like you wouldn't, wouldn't need to do anymore. It might even be counterproductive, you know, because it's just so much load and so much stimulus, and yet you're able to do it so safely. And so we have a lot of older people who come in to see us because they like that it allows them to get a significant training effect, but in a way that not only does it not cause pain or aggravate injuries, it actually is therapeutic. It helps them feel better.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then, you know, in this realm of professional bodybuilding as well, we've got a lot of professional bodybuilders whose bodies are beaten up, and powerlifters too, whose bodies are just beaten up. They've had surgeries, joint injuries, and they'll use the newbie to train, and they can do a third of the volume, lift a third of the weight that they normally would, and get as much or more training effect. And the one exception where that would just not be necessarily a complete training approach is if someone is still wanting to compete in powerlifting, for example, they do have to have that specific feedback of lifting the heavy weights from time to time. So their joint receptors, their muscles will get enough using this, but the joint receptors, like, you know, the vertebrae in the spine, for example, need to feel that compression of that much load. Otherwise they can desensitize or hypersensitize to where they would, you know, react and possibly shut things down if they were loaded with that much weight. But outside of that, you know, this can be a pretty complete and safe and sustainable and effective treatment approach.
Yeah.
Or sorry, training approach. Well, both.
We've been experimenting a little bit because we also have ARX. Are you familiar with
it? Yeah, for sure.
Do you have any practitioners really combining the two very much?
There's a couple for sure. And
okay, yeah,
it's a good combination. We like that. I mean, for just a pure strength stimulus, you're getting, you know, full activation throughout the entire range of motion. You're not letting momentum do any of the work for you.
Right.
For just, you know, that strength. You know, obviously, there's many things that you need to train for overall development for the strength component, or if you just want to maintain muscle mass as you age, that's a big boost.
Yeah, cool, awesome. I had another, I'm trying to think, I had another question. What was my other? Oh, you, in terms of I know we have, like, we use a protocol, the reset. I'm trying to think. For the nervous system. That's been
master reset.
And I had one client. I told her I would bring this up during our conversation because I'm trying to think how she worded it. But we did the reset with her one day. But she said once we started doing the using the newbie, just overall, she just, it was just something, it's like, I didn't mention the reset. This was before we actually did it, that she just felt like just stronger all over. Like it was like a, almost to her, like a, she didn't really say nervous system, but I was just curious if you've experienced that and you think that's related to the, just like the sympathetic versus parasympathetic stimulation that you're getting when you use the newbie.
That's a good question. So that feeling, I mean, we hear that type of thing often where someone says they just feel better or they feel stronger or they feel lighter or they have greater ease. And a lot of times that is that, you know, they see the contrast in feedback because they had been resisting their own movements. It had taken more effort to move. And now when you get those impediments out of the way, it's a lot easier to move. And so you feel just more able, stronger. You have more, you know, more energy because you're not wasting as much of it overcoming your internal resistance. You know, it's like you had been driving your car with hitting the throttle and the brake at the same time, and then you take your foot off the brake. It's like, oh my gosh, the car can move a lot faster than I thought. And so sometimes that change in feedback, it certainly is a good thing, and it's an indicator that there are some real changes happening inside that, in the neuromuscular system and those patterns of tension and things like that. In terms of the sympathetic and parasympathetic, you know, the fight or flight versus the rest and digest sides of the nervous system, that's an interesting component of it. A lot of times, you know, if people are feeling depleted, stressed out, you know, it's because they're not getting enough time in that rest and digest state, that where we recover, where we replenish and rebuild and repair. And being able to give someone a stimulus to help them shift into that rest and digest and repair state, recovery state, that can make a profound difference. And so, and health, you know, that can make a big difference on health, on well-being, on cognitive ability, on energy, during energy levels during the day. So that's a big, and sometimes, you know, a lot of times those shifts in like feeling stronger, looser, feeling better. A lot of times those are just the, you know, the brain noticing like, oh wow, I can move with a lot greater ease from more of the traditional treatment. And then a lot of times those shifts in the autonomic nervous system are a little longer tailed, in the sense that it's like, okay, wow, I just, you know, slept better tonight. That compounds, I'm able to sleep better the next. I'm better if you have more energy during the day. I sleep better the following night. You know, eventually I spend enough time in this, you know, recovery side of the nervous system where my digestion improves, my waste elimination improves, my blood pressure improves. And we've seen people, mood improves. You know, we've seen people get off of, and, you know, of course we're, you know, unless someone has their appropriate license, we're not prescribing or de-prescribing anything. But we've heard people tell us that, you know, because of those autonomic changes, they've been able to get off of, you know, blood pressure medications or laxatives, or, you know, the autonomic nervous system controls heart rate, blood pressure, digestion, elimination, reproductive function. And so many of the lifestyle issues that we have are based on the dysfunction in those systems. And so a lot of times we see changes in those kind of longer time horizon things. Sometimes they can happen pretty quickly. You know, some people will have less digestive irritation sometimes after one of those master reset techniques. And you think like, wow, that's, you know, that's pretty cool. And that's just because the parasympathetic nervous system, the vagus nerve, you know, if anyone's familiar, not Las Vegas, but V-A-G-U-S, the vagus nerve, you know, that innervates, that literally turns on the digestive organs. And if that starts to work better, lo and behold, your digestion works better.
Cool. Do you have some people coming in just to do the master reset, or do you use that just as a protocol for maybe the end of the session?
So more commonly so far, it's been at the end of the session, but we just are in the process of rolling out what we're calling the electric meditation class, where we're going to have people, we're rolling it out now. So we are having people, a group of people do this, and everyone's on, you know, doing that program, lying down, doing some guided breathing together, and then just kind of laying there. And, you know, like a group guided meditation class, but with the machine on. So you really amplify, you know, of course there's benefits to mindfulness, to intentional breathing. There's benefits to meditation, and the newbie can help amplify those by creating that you know, again, under this realm of neuromuscular education, that shift in the autonomic nervous system can help amplify that. So you can get, you know, I don't know if it's 1.5 or 10x the benefits. You know, we'll work on quantifying that, but we do see big improvements in heart rate variability, which is an important measure of the parasympathetic nervous system and recovery status. And we see improvements in sleep quality. You know, people have all these wearable devices. I got two on the same arm and hand right now. So these wearable devices, we're seeing significant changes in these markers. And now it is, to answer your question, a standalone service that we're offering, and it's been really well received so far. You know, we'll let you know more about how that's going if you ever want to incorporate it there too.
We've used a little bit, but it's because I think it's interesting. Like some of the, I would say maybe a little bit more type A, higher strung clients. You know, that's a, you know, say go home and meditate for 20 minutes. You know, that's a challenge for them. And but some of those same ones, if I lay them down on the mat and hook the newbie up, you know, then I have to go get them off of it. So it's very interesting. It's a different. But we haven't really used it as a consistent protocol, so I'm very curious to hear how that works for you guys. That'd be a great way to get people to kind of shut down and reset. Like I said, master reset. So yeah,
and awesome. One of the other major use cases, in addition to that, like, you know, long-term health, lifestyle diseases. You know, in addition to those considerations, also chronic pain is a major use case there, because pain is a response to perceived threat. And the more stress that we have, the more our baseline level of threat is going to be. So sometimes helping create this shift in the autonomic nervous system reduces the overall threat level for that person's system, and that can make a profound impact on chronic pain. And that's really rewarding. I mean, if someone's been in pain for months or years or decades, and you can reduce their pain quickly, if you've got their attention, and you've done a wonderful service for that person.
Yeah. Well, I remember you mentioning referred to as the threat bucket. Is that correct?
Is kind of what you're saying. That's a great, great metaphor.
Yeah, where you just, compile those things and maybe not make a connection to that. And I think a lot of times, too, what I've seen is people, sometimes, if they're overstressed, then they try to sometimes exercise more, and sometimes the exercise they're doing is not necessarily the thing they need. They need to kind of work harder on maybe the recovery aspect, so that kind of fits in with that as well. So, yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Well, Garrett, I appreciate you taking time with me today. It was a lot of great information, and I'm looking forward to continue to talk with you and learn more from you and how to integrate the newbie into our facility with our clients, and I look forward to sharing the results as well. And appreciate your time today. Thanks a lot, Garrett.
Fabulous. Thank you, Billy. We're excited to continue working with you and love the work you're doing there.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thanks.